God bless you.
Oh, coming in. Coming in. Praise the Lord.
Bible?
We'll see. Would you prefer I come over there, or do you want to come out? Whatever you're comfortable with. Kathleen? No, it's okay. I'm going to call my friend over. Kathleen?
I didn't know if I could get a Bible for my son-in-law.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yes, of course.
He's deployed at this time.
He's deployed?
He is.
Okay, yeah. And how many would you like?
Maybe one for her and I and one for him.
Sure.
And
can you get three?
Four?
Three? Four. Four Bibles.
Yeah.
You bet. My name's Sony, by the way.
Hi, I'm Leanne. I'm from Fort Madison. Yeah.
Okay. Fort Madison is northwest corner or south?
Down in the little...
I've only been in Iowa for about 6-7 years, and most of it's here, right here.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. What brings you into town?
Oh, we had to come. Her niece is signing with the college back home.
Oh, okay.
From here back home tonight.
Uh-huh.
So we came to get a picture, or t-shirt.
Oh, okay, okay.
So,
that's so she, which college is she at here?
She will be starting next fall at... What is Blackhawk?
Oh, Blackhawk. Okay, okay.
Yes.
Leanne, right?
Yes.
Leanne.
Leanne and Heidi.
Hi, Heidi.
Nice to meet you. My name is
Kathleen.
Oh, awesome.
So, do you ladies have any particular spiritual beliefs?
You know, I believe there is someone.
Okay.
Something.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure what.
Okay, okay.
I do believe there, and I think there is a heaven and a hell.
Okay. So, since we've known each other now for 2 minutes.
Right, and you know what I think and how.
Well,
not what I think, but how I feel, yeah.
Sure. Leanne, if you were to die today, and obviously I don't want that.
I know what you mean.
If you were to die today and stand before God,
yes.
And God does exist, every human being actually knows it. His word tells us that. I mean, we could look at creation and know that, you know, this didn't happen by chance. Do you like art? No. What do you like? What do you like to do? Are you crafty at all?
Right now because I'm in a depressed state.
Okay.
So I don't really like anything.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So go ahead.
Sure. So let's say Kathleen. Well, Kathleen likes the quilt.
Oh,
right.
Cool.
So Kathleen likes the quilt. So let's say Kathleen decides to enter one of her quilts or a few of her quilts in the Mississippi Valley Fair this summer. Okay, right here in town.
Okay.
And the three of us were. We just happen to be standing around the exhibits, and you ladies are remarking about how beautiful the quilts are,
right.
And boy, what exceptional work! Whoever made this is pretty talented. And I said, well, actually, no one made this. I don't know why you think someone made this. No one made this. It just happened over time. I mean, the cloth formed together over time, and the threads and the different colors kind of formed over time, and. And over billions of years, out came this quilt.
I don't think I could believe that.
Right, exactly. Right. And that's why the Word of God says there are no atheists. Because every human being, all we have to do is look at creation, and we know that we didn't happen by chance.
Right.
Right. So if you were to stand before the God who created all of us, in fact, unlike our dogs and cats and other animals, we were actually created in the image of God. We're image bearers of our Creator. If you were to stand before this God and God asked, Leanne, you say you believe in heaven? Why should I allow you in? What would you say?
Right now he probably wouldn't, because if I found him today, to be honest with you, I'd be suicide.
If you found God?
If I was in front of him at this point in time. That I'm in a depressed state.
Okay.
I'm not going to go off and do suicide. Okay.
Great.
Please don't call 911. I'm just stating the facts here.
So,
but yes.
So then, Leanne, I want to give you hope then.
Thank you.
I want to give you hope. To get to the hope, though, there's going to be some information that doesn't sound really hopeful. Okay?
Right.
But I want to assure you, and it'll only take a minute or two, I want to get to a place where I can give you real hope, okay?
Okay.
So, just quickly, God is holy, God is righteous and just, God is perfectly good, and we are none of those things. The Bible says,
right.
The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've broken His law in various ways, with our mouths, in our minds. I mean, some of my thoughts today were contrary to the law and the will of God. Our actions, and so we've sinned against God every day of our life. I've got two beautiful grandchildren that are both just about to turn two.
Oh,
two different families about a month apart.
Oh, fun.
And they've both discovered the word no.
Oh.
Yeah. And neither of my daughters, who are their mothers, neither of my daughters ever sat them on their lap and said, now, Bethany Rose, I want to teach you how to disrespect me. So we're going to start by learning how to say no and throwing a tantrum. Caleb? I want you to start throwing your blocks around the room whenever I ask you to do something, and when I say come, I want you to run away. No, I mean they're just born with that,
right,
what's called a sinful nature,
right?
Okay.
Right.
So because of that sinful nature, when we die and stand before God, and we're all part of the ultimate statistic, 10 out of 10 people die. When we die and stand before God, whenever that is, He's going to judge us not based on how we see ourselves in the mirror. Not based on how I might compare myself to Kathleen, or Kathleen might compare herself to Leanne, or Leanne to Tony. He's going to judge us according to that law that He's written on our heart. The law that informs our conscience that, look, I know it's wrong to lie even when I do it. I know it's wrong to steal when I do it. I know it's wrong to hate people when I do it. I know those things are wrong because the God who created me isn't a liar. He's not a thief. He's not a murderer at heart. He's not hateful.
Right.
And so that's the law by which He's going to judge each person, and according to that standard, we're all guilty. We're all guilty.
Fair enough.
And because God is good, because He's holy and righteous and just, He has to punish that law breaking. He has to punish that sin, and that punishment is eternity in hell, and I'm going to get to hope. Okay?
And after He puts me there for a while.
Well, so here's the thing, Leanne. The hope I want to give you is that you never have to see that place called hell ever. And no one goes there for a moment. No one goes there for a season.
You're there.
That's eternity. That's eternity. And the hope I want to give you is the assurance that that does not have to be your lot. Okay? So let's say you and Heidi, instead of stopping to have a nice conversation and pick up Bibles, you park over here behind the wall so the two of you can go over and rob the Shell station. I don't think for a moment you'd do that. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Anyway.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's say, just to paint a picture,
right,
let's say that you do that and neither one of you are.
Yeah.
And you go over there and neither one of you are good at it and you get caught. It's not a case of mistaken identity. It is Thelma and Louise in Davenport. You guys actually committed the crime. You get caught. You both feel remorse for what you did. And without being coerced, without being threatened in any way, without being a DA giving you false promises, you both decide to write out your confession. And the one thing about a confession that is most certainly true is that it never shows a person's innocence. It only shows their guilt. It's actually the best piece of evidence that the court could have in your case. Because an eyewitness could be mistaken.
Very true.
A videotape could be grainy.
Yeah.
But you sitting down at a desk with pen and paper saying, this is what I did and this is why I did it, that's...
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, but in our system, you're still entitled to your day in court. So you go to trial. You ladies get attorneys. And your case is heard before a judge, a bench trial instead of a jury trial, and obviously the judge finds you guilty. Now, as we've already mentioned, we've broken God's law every day of our life. We've sinned against Him in ways we know and ways we don't know. Sins of omission, sins of commission. If our criminal history before God was a rap sheet in this world, it would be just reams and reams and reams of paper. Okay. So it's the day of sentencing, and the judge asks, Leanne, Heidi, what do you have to say for yourself? And you say, well, Your Honor, we are guilty. We've already admitted to it, but we think we're relatively good people. We're not as bad as some. We're certainly not as good as others, and we think you ought to just let us go. The judge isn't going to do that.
No.
Right? If he's a good judge, he has to follow the law.
Right.
He can't let you
to
go.
Be fair,
he
right.
can't let you go today and then on the same charges convict someone the next day.
Right.
Whether it's because of their gender, their race, their social economic status, how good a lawyer they got, whatever it is, he has to judge with equity. He has to judge everybody the same according to the standard of the law.
Right. All right.
So, he's not going to let you go. And in fact, because of your extensive history and the crime you've committed, he determines to send you to death. They're going to whisk you, but there's hope coming. I promise you, Leanne.
Again, there is.
Yes, there is. I promise. It's just a moment away. So they're going to take you into the next room, and they're going to execute you. But before that happens, here comes the hope. Here comes the hope.
Okay.
Before that happens, the judge who rightly found you guilty, the judge who alone had the authority to sentence you to death, stands up from behind his bench. He takes off those black robes of authority. He steps down. He walks over to you two ladies, who he has found guilty and sentenced. And he says, yes, you are guilty. And yes, according to the law, the penalty should be death. And I'm going to take your place. And the judge walks into the next room, who's committed no crime. The judge walks into the next room, allows himself to be strapped to a gurney with your name on it, allows a needle to be driven into his arm with your name on it, and he dies the death you're supposed to die. Not because you're innocent, not because you're good, not because you confess, not because you're sorry. None of those things helps you in trial. He does this for no other reason that he chooses to lay down his own life to extend love, grace, and mercy to you. And you're set free.
Yeah.
What would you think of that judge?
One heck of a guy.
Okay.
Amazing.
That is a picture, Leanne, of what God actually did. God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, what this entire book's about. In the person of Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, without sin. He lived a life of perfection as God in the flesh for some 33 years that none of us can live for 33 seconds.
Right.
Yet even though he had done nothing wrong, even though he perfectly obeyed the law, even though he created the law, he voluntarily submits himself to the torturous, bloody death of a Roman cross.
Wow.
He dies a death he did not deserve, to take upon himself the punishment we rightly deserve for all of our crimes against God. And then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. 40 days after that, he ascended in bodily form back to heaven, where he now rules and reigns. And Leanne, what God requires of you and Heidi and Kathleen and Tony is that by faith we receive that gift. Because that's what it is. The Bible says that the wages of sin, what we've earned for our sin, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if God does that work in you, Jesus said, literally causing a person to be born again, he will take a heart of stone that would be at enmity with God, and he will give that person a new heart.
Wow.
They'll begin to love what God loves, namely him. They'll begin to hate what God hates, not other people, their own sin. And when they die and stand before God, they'll have the assurance of salvation and forgiveness. If the roles were reversed and Kathleen and I pulled up, Bonnie and Clyde, if Bonnie and Clyde pulled up, and you and Heidi are out here doing ministry on the corner, and you asked me the question, Tony, if you were to die today, and God asked, why should he allow you into heaven, what would you say? Here's how I would answer.
Okay.
You shouldn't. Because I've spent my whole life violating your law. And because you're good and holy and righteous and just, I deserve nothing but hell.
I don't think I deserve hell. No.
But I know you're going to let me in, not because of my goodness, but because of yours. Not because of what I've done, but in spite of what I've done. Not because of who I am, but in spite of who I am. I know you're going to welcome me into your joy, welcome me into your kingdom, because your son died on the cross for a sinner like me. So, Leanne, I have struggled with depression. I have struggled with anxiety.
Yeah.
okay, I know what that is like. I know how dark it can be. And when it gets darkest for me, mm-hmm. is when I look in the mirror instead of to the cross. Jesus, who is the light of the world. Light and darkness cannot inhabit the same place at the same time. Right? You turn on the light switch, the darkness goes away.
Right.
Jesus is the light of the world. And if he causes you to be born again and welcomes you into his joy, he will forgive your sin. He will remove it as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. He'll adopt you as a beloved daughter, and he will never let you go. The Bible says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That's where hope lies. Hope is not to be found in the mirror. I heard a pastor once say that hope is not found in education, legislation, or even medication. It's found in reconciliation. Reconciliation of man to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I assure you, Leanne, as imperfect as my faith is, as imperfect as my hope and my trust in God is, I assure you, there is hope. It's real, it's lasting, it's eternal, and it will never be taken away if you will but come to God on His terms. Because just like a good judge in a courtroom is not going to negotiate with a convicted criminal,
right.
God is not going to negotiate with convicted sinners.
You're right.
But if we put our faith and our trust in Christ alone, instead of seeing the filthy garments of our sin when we stand before Him, He will see the righteousness of His Son credited to our account. And He will say, "Yes, Leanne, come. There's plenty of room. You are welcome. I've already prepared a place for you. Welcome into my joy." And that's the hope I have for you today.
I will take that with me.
Good.
Well,
good.
I appreciate it.
It's very good to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Can I share